Good morning. Everybody doing all right? Good day so far. Good day. Had any good news today? Any bad news? You know, sometimes they come together. Somebody says, "Hey, I got some good news and some bad news," and you think, "Like, just give me the good news. I don't want to hear the bad news. Maybe if I don't hear the bad news, it'll just go away." But a lot of times that is how things come to us in life. Sometimes somebody says, "Well, you just got to take the good with the bad." So we've been thinking about this passage of Scripture that Jesus is beginning his teaching with in a really dramatic way with the Sermon on the Mount. He starts off by just giving a lot of really good news. In fact, the very first word in verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Happy. More than happy. Like, happier than you've ever been before in your life, happy. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And then he goes on and he begins to help us understand that no matter who we are, poor in spirit, destitute in spirit, in spiritual poverty, as far away from God as a person could possibly be, as hard to reach God as it could possibly be, Jesus said, "If that's you, I got some good news for you. Yours is the kingdom of heaven." Even you, in your spiritual poverty, you're just one step away from entering the kingdom of God. And so we've been talking about that in all the many ways that God gives us an opportunity to experience him in a full and rich way. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they'll inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." All those many conditions that we tend to look at and say, "Well, that's not really a good thing, and how could God take a bad thing and make it good?" But you know, that's what God does. And then we get to our passage today, Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, where Jesus, in my opinion, kind of throws a curveball. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I can get my arms around that, okay, what it means. But when then he goes to what sounds like the completely opposite direction, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." And I'm thinking, pure in heart? Like, that's not any of these people. That's not me. Pure in heart. And who is that speaking to? Who in the crowd that Jesus spoke to that day would be classified as pure in heart? I mean, their Old Testament prophets had just preached to them, all kind of summarized in Jeremiah 17:9. "Your heart is deceitful," not pure. "Your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, beyond cure. Who can understand it? Who can fix that?" And so for centuries they had heard, "All your hearts are bad." And Jesus comes along and pronounces a blessing to the pure in heart, and nobody there feels like that applies to them. "It's not me, pure in heart. I don't guess I'm going to get that one." They sang songs about it. Psalm 14 says that there is no one righteous, not even one person. Paul echoes that in Romans chapter 3. "There's none righteous, no, not one. For all of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of God's perfect standard." And if we're honest with ourselves, we know that. We're not fooling anybody. Okay, I mean, I know y'all look up here at me and you think, "Man, That horn guy's perfect. I mean, you think about it. Of all the Beatitudes that Tim could skip town on, you know, you're putting that together, aren't you? But really, I'm like the Pharisees. I look good on the outside, but on the inside, I'm just as bad as you. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. She'll tell you. She might tell you if you don't ask her. So what does that mean? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I didn't even think you could see God and live. That's what the Bible says. It's what God said. It's what he told Moses. Moses said, I want to see you. And God says, okay, well, you can see a little bit of me, but you can't see my face. So I'm going to hide you over here in this hole in the rock. And then I'm going to pass by. I'm going to put my hand over you so you can't see me. I'm going to pass by. And then when I get by, I'll move my hand and you can see my back. But you can't see my face or you'll die. And so blessed are the pure in heart. I can't get my hands around that. That they'll see God. See God and die, that doesn't sound like a very good deal to me. What does this beatitude mean? What's it all about? And I've been thinking about that this week. I've been praying about that this week. And so we're going to get out a little early this morning. So, no, just kidding. God answered my prayer. And I think one of the most powerful images in the scripture is what God did say in this passage. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. He would not say that if that couldn't happen. And more than anything else, God wants each of us to enter into a relationship with him where we can see him face to face, where we can interact with him on a personal relationship, where we can see God all around us. And I believe that the Bible teaches how to do that, how to make that happen. Now, if you're new to the Bible or new to church or you're just trying to kind of figure all this personal relationship with God thing out, I want you to know that this book right here, this Bible, is God's letter to you to help you know how to have a relationship with him. And you may have some preconceived notions about the Bible and about what God demands of people and what it looks like. And I just want you to just be open to the possibility this morning that if you looked into this book, that you would find life like you've never known it, that you would find life as it was meant to be, that you would find the path to a pure heart. And with that pure heart, you could actually see God. Because the Bible teaches that every one of us can have a face-to-face relationship with God if we will learn how to embrace a couple of things that will help us get a pure heart. If we can embrace those, we'll see God. So what are they? Okay, well, the Bible teaches that the first expression of a pure heart is simply pure faith. Pure faith. It's our first step towards seeing God. Now, one of the most famous passages of the Bible, John 3:16, tells us a little bit about why that's necessary. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Now that's a really familiar passage of Scripture to almost every one of us in here. It may be new to you. Maybe the only time you saw John 3:16 is in the end zone of a football game. You never really knew what it meant or never looked it up or never tried to find out what it meant. But now this morning, maybe you heard it for the first time. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God gave his Son, Jesus Christ, to you, for you. God gave Jesus as a sacrifice for our sins. God knows we don't have a pure heart. We know we don't have a pure heart. All throughout Scripture and all throughout our experience, that gets communicated to us. And God knew that there's nothing that we could do to fix that. And so the Scripture says that he who knew no sin, Jesus, became sin for us, you and me, in order that we might be made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. And so a pure heart is born from my pure faith in Jesus as my substitute. A pure heart is born from my pure faith in Jesus as my substitute. Now, when you hear John 3:16, you might just think of that as something that's somewhat optional. Okay, well, that was mighty kind of God to have his Son die in my place, but you know, I'm not that bad, and I do a lot of good things, and I'm thinking, somebody good like me, why could God be so mad? And so John goes on to tell us here, beyond John 3:16, in John 17 and 18, he says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." See, here's the problem. We don't have to do anything bad for our hearts to be bad. They're already bad. They start off bad. Okay? Like, you don't have to teach your little kid to grab somebody else's toy. You have to teach them not to do that. Why is that? Because they got a bad heart. Okay? You don't have to teach a teenager to backtalk their parents. Why? Because they got a bad heart. Okay? Nobody has to teach you to try to cover up the truth or try to manufacture a story to cover up the truth. Why? Because you got a bad heart. I got a bad heart. And God says, if you just sit there and do nothing with Jesus Christ, you're in bad shape because you're condemned already. And so God, in his love for you, had his own Son die in your place and gave you the pure heart of his Son, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus given to you. And so the Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever, that's everybody in here, whoever believes in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. That's a decision that we make. It's a decision that only you can make for yourself. Nobody can make that for you. You have to make it for yourself. And the Bible promises us that if we will put that pure faith in Jesus as our substitute, that we will see God. Pure faith ensures us that we will see God in eternity. It's the promise. It's the promise right there in John 3:16, most famous verse in the Bible. we put our faith in him, we'll see God. How does that happen? How can a person do that? Maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, man, I know I need to do that, but how does it happen? It happens very simply. Just in a personal communication between you and God. To say, God, I know that my heart's not pure. I know that I have sin in my heart. And I believe that if I'll put 100% of my faith in Jesus Christ, not him and trying to bring a few good things along with me, I can't bring enough good things. I put 100% of my trust, 100% of my faith, 100% of my confidence in Jesus Christ, that you will come in and replace the impurity of my heart with the purity of the heart of your Son. And we confess that, when we admit that, when we share our heart's desire to do that with God, then God comes in and God changes our heart. He changes it from a heart of stone to a heart that loves him, embraces him as his child of pure heart. I'd like for us to do something just here in the middle of this message. I'd like for all of us in here just to bow our heads for a moment. Because I think that in a room this size with this many people, that there are some people here this morning that even right now, there's a stirring in your heart as you hear those words from Scripture, as you realize what God has done for you through Jesus Christ, that right here in this place, if offered the chance that you would say your own prayer to God and invite Jesus Christ to come into your life, to take away your sin, to replace your heart of stone with his heart, with his righteousness. And so I want to give you just a moment to do that. Just in your own words, quietly to yourself, just express the desire of your heart to God to be freed from your sin, to embrace the righteousness of Christ through his death on the cross, and to become his child. Just say that to God right now in your own words. Father, I know that even right now in this service that there are some people who express the desire of their heart to become your child through what Jesus has done for them. And Lord, I know that as they did that, that they became your child, that they will forever be yours, and that they'll spend eternity with you and with all of us who know Jesus Christ ourselves. Thank you for the commitment they've made this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I know some of you prayed to God right now and just gave your heart to him to make it pure. There's a really neat passage of Scripture that I think really captures moments like that. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 20, John says, "Dear friends, now we are children of God." That's what happens when we put our pure faith in him. Now we're children of God. "And what we will be has not been made known, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Now you think about that. You're a child of God. And one day, you'll see Jesus face to face. And one day, the Bible says, you'll be made like him. Because you'll see him as he is. That's a result of pure faith. And that pure faith ensures me that I'll see God in eternity. But there's a second aspect of developing a pure heart. That pure heart is given to us through faith. But then the exciting adventure really begins as really a pure heart begins to develop in us through our pure focus on God. Our pure focus on God. There's a great passage of Scripture over in Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. You might just want to write that down while I read it to you, and you can check it out later. But listen to this. Remember, we were talking about Moses and his experience with God earlier. In Exodus 33, 11, the Bible says, the Lord would speak to Moses. That sounds pretty cool, doesn't it? The Lord would speak to Moses. Why? Because Moses had a personal relationship with God. And so they would interact with each other. And the Scripture says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks with his friend. And you think, is that possible? Could that even happen, really? It happened for Moses. He's not any different than you and me. I mean, read the Bible. Read about Moses. Man, Moses had a big anger problem. Okay, it cost him in some areas of his life. Moses was just like us, but you know what? Moses had a face-to-face relationship with God. Moses talked with God like a man talks with his friend. Why? Because Moses had a pure focus on God. Moses lived his life wrapped around this interactive relationship with God. And the more time Moses spent with God, and the more time Moses interacted with God in his day-to-day life, the more of God Moses was able to see, to the point that they've got this personal relationship that just kind of blows our mind to think about it. But every one of us, listen, every person in this room can have that kind of face-to-face relationship with God if we will just embrace these two expressions of a pure heart, pure faith in God and pure focus on God. Now, how does that work itself out? What does that look like in our life? Well, when I'm focused on God as my friend, here's some things that happen. First of all, I seek to live the kind of life that God wants me to live. Because God's my friend, because I look at God as my friend, then I begin to seek the kind of life, I begin to live the kind of life that God wants me to live as his friend. And so I read through like the Sermon on the Mount. And I see all the things, all the ways that God wants to change my life from the inside out. And there grows within me this deep desire to live like that. Not because God's beating me over the head as a tyrant, but because God's my friend. And I know what he's asking me to do. He has my own good interest in his heart. And so my heart's drawn to him. My heart's drawn to live like him. When we begin to focus on God, then we find ourselves asking God for help. We find ourselves crying out to him. We realize, hey, God, he's right here with me. And so I can ask him. I'm inclined to stop in the midst of my day and say, man, God, I need your help right now. And fewer times do I walk through the day trying to make it on my own. And when I have a pure focus on God, there are more and more times during the day when I stop. And I find myself just naturally, I find myself almost intuitively talking to God as a friend would talk to a friend, asking God to help me, asking God to guide me, asking God to strengthen me for that moment. And the more I do that, the more I begin to see God at work all around me. I pursue communication channels with God that strengthen my relationship with him. It's the nature of a friendship that you communicate with each other. And the more you communicate, the deeper the friendship goes. And the more that I spend that time with God, the more I communicate with Him, the more I interact with Him, the more I get face to face with Him, the more I see, not just in a gift way, in a positional way, that God has given me a pure heart, but I begin to see my heart changing. And in practical ways, the purer my heart becomes, the more I see God, because I have a pure focus upon Him. A pure focus ensures me that I'll see God today. A pure focus ensures me that I'll see God today. My pure faith ensures me that I'll see God in eternity. But you know, the biggest trick of the devil is to get me just to think, well, now I'm in this relationship with God, and I guess I have to wait till eternity to get any of the benefits from it. And so I have to just kind of trudge through this life. There's a lot of things now I'm a Christian, I can't have any fun anymore. And a lot of things I can't do anymore. And so I'm just going to have to make it on my own until I get to the other side. Until I get into eternity. And Jesus just says, that's baloney. I came that you might have a blessed life right now. Right now. You're going to be blessed in eternity. No doubt about it. But you can live that blessed life right now. And when I focus on God, that happens. When I focus on God, I see Him today. I see Him in my day-to-day life, even in the simple things. Look at Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at three passages here in Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, look in verse 45. Now, Jesus is, man, He's just gone through a lot of things and different ways to say a relationship with me is about what's going on the inside in your heart, not on the outside. You can look really good on the outside and look like trash on the inside. And Jesus said, I came to fix your heart, fix you on the inside. And so He gets down to something that's actually really hard for us to do in like verse 43. He says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you might be sons of your Father in heaven. You think, man, that's hard to do. How do you do that? I know how to love my neighbor. How do I love my enemies? So that's hard to do. But to do that, you'd be sons of your Father in heaven. And then Jesus just kind of gives a few words here that somewhat seem out of place when you just, if you just look at them and think, where'd that come from? But He's trying to demonstrate God's love. And so He says it this way, just pointing to the fact that God loves everybody. He says, He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Now, just think about, you've got to focus on God. That helps you have a pure heart. That helps you see God. What's Jesus saying? He's saying, look, let me ask you this. When you walk outside and you have to put on your sunglasses because, man, that sun's bright, does that cause you to think, you know what? God loves me. He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good. It's part of God's expression of love for His creation. And so even in the simple things like the sun shining in my face, that when I'm focused on God, it reminds me, hey, you know what? God loves me. He shines His sun on me. And when it's raining, He said, He sends rain on the evil and the good. When it's raining, do you think, hey, this rain, this reminds me that God loves me. When we're focused on God, when our hearts become pure, we see God even in the simple things of life. We don't just walk through life missing Him, but we walk through life seeing Him all over the place. And say, well, that's corny. That's mind games. That's a relationship with God. It's a relationship with God. And I just see Him everywhere when I focus. He works purity in my heart, and I see him even in simple things. Matthew 6:33. Matthew 6:33, Jesus is wrapping up a few verses where he was talking to people about worry. And he was talking about money, and he says, don't worry about how much money you have or don't have. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. He says, I take care of the birds. You don't see birds going hungry, do you? I take care of the flowers. Their clothes look better than your clothes. I take care of them. Well, you don't think I'll take care of you? And he said, here's all you need to do. Verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What's he saying? He's saying focus. Focus on the kingdom of God. Focus on me. And you know what happens? When we focus on God, we start to see God's provision. We start to see that God is way ahead of us. And we get to a place where we'll have a need, and God's already been there to meet the need. We're focused on God, and we're heading this way, and we get here, and all of a sudden we recognize God's been here before me. He's seen it ahead of time. He's made provision. He's seen it ahead of time, and he's been there to meet my needs. That's how God loves me. And so Jesus said, if you'll just seek me, if you'll just focus on me, you'll find I take care of you. And as you walk through this life and you get to a point of need, you'll find I'm already there. I've already made provision. There are the things here that you need. There are the relationships here that you need. Because I love you. You're my child. And you cannot seek me and be disappointed. Focus helps us see God in the normal everyday things of life. It helps us see how God has been way ahead of us to make provision for us in our life. We see him when we look for him like that. Somebody says, that's a coincidence. No, it's a God incidence in your life. And when you're focused on him, you see that. You see that. One more passage in chapter 7. Chapter 7, and let's look at verse 24. Jesus says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. What's the difference? Same rains coming down, same streams rising, same winds blowing and beating against your life. What's the difference? The difference is a focus on God. When we focus on God, we find ourselves sustained. We see God's sustaining hand in our lives during situations that wreck the lives of other people. And Jesus says, man, just listen to me. I'm trying to help you. Listen, I love you. And when we focus on him, when we cultivate that relationship with him, when our heart beats harder and harder and purer for him, things that would normally wreck the lives of other people, we make it through. Hundreds of you could stand up this morning and say, preach it, brother. I can tell you how that worked in my life. I can tell you what God did in my life to sustain me in times where I've seen other people fall, where I've seen other people's lives train wreck, shipwreck, when we focus on Him. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. They'll see God all around them. They see God today. They walk with Him and talk with Him like a friend with a friend. And so there's bad stuff happens all around us. This past Friday afternoon, the director of our Christian school here, Amy Baker, was shot while somebody was trying to steal her car. And you think, man, what kind of world do we live in? How would that impact your life? If you've got a personal, sustained relationship with God, those times, as hard as they are, as difficult as they are for you, as difficult as they are for family, there's a sustaining strength that God gives in those moments. And as we hear about that, as we think about that, and we wonder, man, what's up? We have a place to go. We can go and we can see God. We can look in God's face and say, God, help in this situation. God, guide in this situation. God, help us understand how wicked our hearts can be and how bad that can hurt other people. And give me a pure heart. That focus on God sustains us when nothing else will. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Let's pray together. Father, well, we know our own, we know the depths of our own wickedness, of our own depravity, of our own hearts. And Father, we thank you so much that Jesus Christ can replace our heart of stone with a pure heart. Lord, we thank you for that. And we thank you that once that personal relationship with you begins, once we've been given that pure heart, that we actually experience our hearts becoming like your heart, especially through the situations of life. Lord, open our eyes to see you as that face-to-face relationship grows and gets cultivated. Lord, we want to pray this morning, especially we want to pray for Amy Baker. Lord, we pray that your sustaining strength would be given to her, that she would know your presence, that her family would know your presence in an abiding way. And that the personal relationship that she has with you would allow her to see you in this moment in ways that she's never seen you before. Might she see more of you? Father, we pray for that young man. And we pray that he would see you too. We pray, God, that you would invade his heart with your love. That you would give him a purity of heart that he might see you. Our great hope is in you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.